Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we begin our new study series centered on our study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and based on Bob Christopher's book of the same name. If you've not yet requested your copy of the study guide, you can do so by visiting basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. You can also download a copy of the study notes at that same site. Now, this being a study edition of Basic Gospel, the phone lines will be silent today. So, with Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, we are excited about today's broadcast and starting this brand new study series, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. This is a study I wish I had early on in my Christian experience, because I learned all kinds of things as a young believer in Christ. I learned how to, quote, rightly divide the Word of God. Yeah. I learned a lot about prophecy. I learned about this and I learned about that. But I didn't really have any idea how to live it out, how to live this gospel message out in day-to-day life. So I was forced to just resort to my own understanding, to lean on my own understanding, and to kind of figure it out on my own. And so human effort is what I brought to the table. And I tell you, human effort didn't do me very much good, as it doesn't do anyone else any good as far as the Christian life is concerned. So this is a study that really answers that question, how the Christian life is really supposed to work. You and I get questions all the time on the radio broadcast. You're fielding all sorts of email questions, and they're, you know, myriad as far as the types of those questions are concerned. But underneath the vast majority of them is this kind of misunderstanding or this really plea for an answer.
Yes.
How is this really supposed to work? I don't get it. I don't get how the Christian life is really supposed to be lived out. And it gets back to exactly how we were saved, and that's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And if we will allow that to be kind of the cornerstone, the rock that we stand on, this Christian life is going to make sense. Mm-hmm. So with that as a brief introduction, let's dive in to page one of our Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And the introduction is titled God's Guy. And as I tweeted earlier today on today's broadcast, how not to be God's guy, because I learned how to do that quite well.
Yeah.
And it all began for me my freshman year in college. On the very first day, I made a vow to God. It went something like this: God, I know I've been a disappointment to you. Thank you for a clean slate and for the opportunity to start fresh in college. From this day forward, I promise to be your guy. Now, that sounds noble. That sounds good. That sounds holy. That sounds like a guy really on fire, wanting to be on fire for God. But if you really dissect this, you see a lot of I's in there. I know I've been a disappointment to you. I promise to be your guy. So all of this promise was on my shoulders, and I wasn't able to live up to it. I made this my first year of my freshman year, or the first day of my freshman year in college. By the second semester, this was out the window. It was totally out the window, and boy, life just became a struggle for me. And so I know my experience is not unique. I know most of us as believers, we go through a dry patch. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to really discover how the Christian life is supposed to work. And so during those dry patches, we make all kinds of promises. We want to be the best Christian that we possibly can be, but we keep falling flat on our faces. And every time we do, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We make another promise to God, which is going to go unfulfilled. We feel guilty over that. We feel shameful. We feel fearful. We try to make another promise, and that just becomes a vicious cycle. So, Richard, in your life, what kind of promises had you made to God as you were trying to figure out the Christian life?
As I think back, I think the first promise I ever made to God was, Lord, I'll never swear again. And then I went out and played basketball or something else, you know. And then I'd come back and say, oh, I'm sorry about that one, Lord. I'll never curse again. And the harder I tried, the more easily it became to curse, because I was thinking about not cursing. And then you get into this argument with yourself. Well, is this word appropriate? How about this word? How about this combination of words? One or the other is okay, but boy, don't put them together, you know. And you just fall flat on your face, because things happen. You slam your finger in the door. You trip and fall. You make a mistake, especially stupid mistakes. And there you go, launching off at someone else or yourself. And then you have to crawl back to God and say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Pretty soon, you're cursing at God. Blankety blanket, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, no,
yes.
I've done it again.
Yeah. Well, and that was my constant prayer. You know, here I am again, same sin. You know, I tried not to do this today, but I did it again. Here I am again. And boy, I'm going to make another promise. Tomorrow is going to be better. I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I promise you, God, I am not going to do that sin tomorrow. And as soon as you say that, Satan's got you exactly where he wants you. But what that is trying to be God's guy through human effort. You're bringing your humanness to the table and saying, I'm going to use every resource that's available to me, humanly speaking, to become God's guy. I'm not going to tap into anything supernatural. I'm not going to tap into the power of God, to the power of God's resurrection, to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to walk by faith. I'm not going to do those supernatural things. I'm going to try on my own. I'm going to give it my best shot. But our best shot just isn't good enough. And that's what we have to come to grips with, is that we don't have what it takes to overcome the temptations of this world, the desires of the flesh. We are way too weak to fight those battles through human effort. We're going to get beaten every single time. So if you're listening, if you are working through this study guide with us, I want you to stop and take just a second and think about the promises that you've made to God. Mm-hmm. How successful were you at keeping those promises? You know, as we've heard time and time again, you know, we want to be promise keepers. Well, there's really only one promise keeper. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
He keeps his promises so that we can abide in all the his faithfulness to keep those promises. That's what the Christian life is all about. Now, in making these promises, we're thinking about how our life should be, changes that need to be made. And so for me, when I would make these promises to God, what I had in mind is that I'm no longer going to give in to the temptations of the world. I'm gonna live purely and cleanly before God. I'm gonna be pure before Him. That's what I had in mind. That's what I was hoping that my promises would result in.
Yes.
Now, most of us have something like that in mind. We want to overcome a particular sin. We want to live holy lives. We want to do this or do that. What were some of the things that you were interested in? You wanted to stop cursing.
Yeah.
But really, what was it that you wanted your life to look like?
Oh, simple. I wanted to be perfect. I mean, my whole life, I've been wired that way. I strive for perfection. And to this day, I don't know why God did that for me, but I literally never wanted to miss a question on a test. I never wanted to miss a note on the piano. I never wanted to catch the edge of, you know, of the pedal of the bicycle in too sharp of a turn. I mean, just ridiculous things. I demanded perfection of myself, and therefore I demanded perfection of everyone else. This was a tough life.
Yes,
because
it was.
I wasn't measuring up. But I truly want, I thought that if I could be that perfect, God could use me.
Yeah. So when Jesus said, be perfect,
you're
thinking, okay, I'm going to go out and do that.
I'm going to do that.
Okay. So that's what you wanted your life to look like. You wanted it to be perfect in every way possible, in actions, in thought, in speech,
yep,
all of that. And how well did you do?
Well, I lied on the outside. So there were people who thought I was pretty good. On the inside, I was a wreck. And when you've got that kind of disconnect between what you know about yourself and yet what you're projecting to the outside world, pretty soon it begins to have a mental and emotional and physical impact on who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
And it was inevitable.
Yeah. So you wanted to be perfect. I wanted to live this holy life, this very godly life, and that didn't work for either one of us.
No.
Why? Because we were going about it the wrong way.
Yes.
It's not that those things are wrong.
Oh.
It's not that those goals aren't noble. It's just, how are you going to get there? What steps are you going to take? And we just don't have the proper steps lined out. And even if we did, we wouldn't have the ability to get from point A to the next milestone and then the next milestone and the next milestone. We just can't do that. We get trapped at the starting line.
Well, yeah, because you know in your heart of hearts, if as soon as you make that first mistake, you're not perfect anymore. So you have to start over. Even if it had been 6 months since you made a mistake, the first mistake means you have to start over again.
You have to go all the way back to the back. So it's as if Paul, you know, was in all of our heads.
Yes.
And in all of our lives when he wrote these words, Romans 7:18, I have the desire to do what is good. That's where these promises come from. I promise you that this is going to be, you know, the outcome, that I'll do it this time, Lord. I promise I will do it. So we have that desire.
Yes.
We have the desire to do what is good, but we cannot carry it out.
Yeah.
And if there's not a truer verse about human experience, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, this really nails each and every one of us. The things we want to do, we don't do. The things we don't want to do, we do anyway.
Yes.
And I have yet to meet a person that hasn't had this as part of their human experience. Mm-hmm. This is what it means to be human.
Oh.
But we have this desire, and then we incorporate human effort to try to bring it about, and that's when we say, I cannot carry it out. I just don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
So I hope people are identifying with this. And
I'm getting too depressed.
That's right. I guarantee if they're listening, they're identifying.
Yes.
They know exactly what we're talking about. So I know both you and I can describe our Christian experiences that way, or what they've been in the past, the things I want to do, I don't do, the things I don't want to do, I do anyway. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. That's been my experience. That's been your experience. And I guarantee you it's been the experience of every single Christian.
Yes.
I have yet to meet a Christian that doesn't desire to do what is right, to do what is good. That's just part of becoming new in Christ.
Yes.
It's always the question, how do I carry it out?
He puts that desire in us. It's our problem that we try it in the flesh.
Yes.
We'll talk about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and one of the things that I experienced in making that promise to God throughout my college days, I just felt like that sin was my only option, that was my only choice.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I didn't want to, as much as I wanted to be that godly guy, as much as I wanted to live a pure and holy life, I just felt trapped, like there, you know, no matter what I did, sin was always going to be the ultimate reality for me. I just couldn't escape its power. I couldn't escape its lure. I couldn't escape its temptation. I just couldn't do it. And I know, you know, there's many of us that try to lose weight and, you know, just seems like I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't stop eating ice cream. I can't stop eating, you know, key lime pie that we just finished off last night in the refrigerator. I can't do it. And we get hopeless, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And that's a sad position. And I think, you know, for me, I threw up my hands in frustration and said, Lord, I give up. You know, I want to be your guy. I've promised to be that, but I can't. I just can't do it. The only thing that happens for me is I keep giving in to temptation. I keep giving in to sin. I keep giving in to the desires of the flesh. I keep allowing the opinions of others to shape and mold me and move me down this course. It felt like I was just being pushed along by the current of the world. And no matter what I tried to get out of the current, I just couldn't do it. Yeah. It's like a riptide or something down at the beach. You know, you're swimming and swimming. You just can't get out
of
it.
And the more you fight it, the worse it gets.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I know a lot of people feel that. But let me tell you, it's you're not without hope. You may seem like you're without hope. You may think that your situation is hopeless. But let me tell you, it's all in adjusting how you go about living the Christian life.
Yes.
That's what this study is all about. My name is Bob Christopher here with Richard Pfeiffer. We're on page two. We've moved along quickly in this. The Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. If you're just tuning in, we have the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide available along with the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a combo for a contribution of $18 or more to Basic Gospel. We encourage you to go to our basicgospel.net/teaching. That has everything about this series, study notes that we are producing each and every week to go along with the lesson, and how you can get a copy of these two resources. And we want you to have them. These are wonderful, as you will find out going through this study with us, but in your own personal study. And if you want to gather a group of people, this particular study guide is so practical. I mean, it really reaches into a person's heart and identifies, and they can say, that's me, that's me, that's me. And whenever somebody can say that, that's me, that's how I feel, that's what I've experienced, and they know that they're not alone, that injects hope into their situation. Mm-hmm. So this is a great study to really meet people where they are in their Christian experience, give them the hope that they're looking for, and then some practical steps to move down this new path, this new way of grace as far as living the Christian life. And all of that is available at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Yes.
This is something for you. This is something for you to share with others as well. So, Paul, you know, he was not very subtle in a lot of his letters, and so he attacked, you know, I would say address, or he dealt with this issue, but that would be putting it mildly. He attacked this issue of trying to live the Christian life through human effort. And in the book of Galatians, he wrote these words, "How foolish can you be?" So, like I said, he's not very subtle. He's not just you know, gently dealing with this issue. He's attacking it. And he is saying, listen, guys, you were saved by grace through faith in Jesus. It was the Spirit's work to set you apart, to give you new life in Christ, to raise you so that you could walk in the newness of life. So why have you gone astray? Why have you gone back to Christian effort? And that's exactly what he says. After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?
Yes.
And that's exactly what you were saying.
Exactly.
You wanted to be perfect. Mm-hmm. How did you go about it? Through human effort.
Yes.
And how well did you do?
Not very.
Not very well. Not very. At all. So I have a question. In what ways have you applied human effort to the Christian life? And what were the results? You know, when we make promises to God, those promises are filled with, I'm going to study the Bible more. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I did in my college days. I started a Bible reading plan. And so I began, and I was disciplined. I would read four chapters every single day. Started in the book of Matthew. I wanted to read through the New Testament. And so I started day one, Matthew chapters 1 through 4. So I finished those four chapters, and I checked my box. if somebody had asked me, well, what did you read? Matthew chapters 1 through 4.
Yes.
What did you learn in Matthew chapters 1 through 4? I don't have a clue.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a clue. You know, there was something about genealogies and, you know, a few other things, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then the next day, you know, I started 5 through 8, mm-hmm. 9 through 12, and so forth and so on. And so I was methodically working my way through the New Testament, but it was having absolutely no impact. Why? Because I didn't have spiritual eyes. I was not seeing what the Lord had for me.
Yes.
I just wanted to find out what I was supposed to do to be God's guy. That's all I cared about. Mm-hmm. So if there was any rule or regulation or ritual that I thought could benefit me, that could keep me going up that spiritual ladder, then I was going to implement it. But as far as what the actual message was, it was all about me as far as I was concerned. So I was applying human effort to Bible reading. Mm-hmm. There are some people that apply human effort to prayer. You know, if I could just pray long enough or get enough people to pray with me, then we can do something to get God to do something for us.
Yeah.
Well, what is that? That's human effort. We're trying to perfect ourselves through human effort. There may be some that give or have church attendance or those sort of things. All good stuff. But if it's done in the energy of the flesh or through human effort, it's meaningless.
Yes.
Absolutely meaningless. So what things did you apply human effort to as far as the Christian life is concerned? And then are you willing to admit that human effort, the path of trying harder, doing better, and being better, is not the way to live the Christian life? It's a pretty good question, isn't it?
It is. I knew the answer was yes, but I was afraid to say yes.
Yes.
Because I was so convinced that I could do this, and if I didn't do this, God was going to whack me with a 2x4. So I couldn't answer to him, well, Lord, I know this is stupid.
Yeah.
Because he kept asking me, are you having a good time? How's that working for you? Not working well at all, Lord, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep trying. Because there's something inside of us that says, you know, I got to keep trying. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't give up on this. I mean, Jesus did such an incredible work for me. I mean, he died on the cross and he was raised back to life. And, you know, this is the least I can do.
Yes.
Even though I fail, I'm going to keep trying. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep going down this path. And so we're reluctant to give up. We're reluctant to throw up our hands in frustration and say, Lord, I can't do this. But that's exactly what God wants from us. To give up on that path of human effort so we can learn the way of grace. So if you've been listening today to today's broadcast, if you've tried to be God's guy, if you've tried to be God's gal, and you've been doing that through human effort, will you let today be the day that you give up on trying?
Yeah.
Will
please.
You let today be the day of no more promises? Why? Because you can't fulfill them. It's like those New Year's resolutions. They go unfulfilled.
Yeah.
So would you let those go and allow Christ to teach you the way of grace? That's what this gospel is all about. That's what this Christian life is all about. As Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, a wonderful theologian and preacher of his day and one of the most quoted people, you know, in Christendom today, he said this: the Christian life starts with grace. It must continue with grace. It ends with grace. Grace, marvelous grace.
Yes.
That's what the Christian life is all about. That's how it works. By grace, through faith in Jesus. Well, this has been a great lesson, and I hope a good start to this wonderful study of a simple gospel, simply grace. We'll be back Monday for a live edition to answer your questions and to really help people to see in their practical day-to-day experiences how the gospel really is lived out by grace through faith in Jesus. Well, for Richard, for Greg, for Coleman, for the entire Basic Gospel team, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.